From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
It always brings a smile to my face to join you on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams with you, and I'm joined in studio by my friend Ethel Maharg. She's the director of the Love Life Organization. Hi, Ethel.
Hi, Jim.
I haven't seen you for a while.
I know.
You're doing good.
Doing good.
We got a chance to visit a little bit, and then I always do my, Ethel, don't say those things to me until we're on the air, because everybody, you tell me all this great stuff, and then I always get worried that people won't repeat that when we're actually talking to people. So, hey, tell us about you. What's your personal history, and why have you been fighting to protect the unborn for as long as I've known you?
Well, I have a story. Yeah. And because, you know, I told you before, I won't tell in depth right now, but it was part of my history. And so going to CareNet, when I went to CareNet, that's when the Lord set me free from that. Not understanding, it was supposed to be a secret I would die with. Mm. And it ended up being the reason that I'll die fighting for it, you know? So, yeah.
So can I ask you about what other people right now, maybe people have had abortions, maybe mm-hmm. people that have been working as abortion workers.
Yeah.
If they're hiding that, if they feel a way about that, that's not healthy, what should they do?
They should call us, and they should come to, because we have a portion of our ministry. It's called Restored Life. And I gave you a bookmark. We have this
yes.
really cool bookmark, and it's got a picture of a gentleman, and it's his actual picture. It says, pray for abortion workers. And this gentleman's name is Alfonso, and he's not here in Albuquerque, but in another area, because we're 25 cities all over the United States. And so this gentleman had been working in the abortion clinic for over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he had seen, and he had been part of killing babies, many, many of them. So something happened that day. I don't know exactly what it was, but the story is he got fired, probably because he was opposing something. Mm-hmm. So he walked out of there and walked straight across to us at Love Life and picked up a sign that says, pray for abortion workers. And I've seen signs of him saying, you know, life is precious, you know, many, many other things that I've seen. Let me tell you what happened with him and with Love Life. The people, well, you know, we all gather at the sidewalk. So what they did is they just embraced him. No judgment, didn't judge him, didn't say, oh, how dare you, you were in there killing me. No, they just loved him, embraced him, led him to Christ, helped him, he got baptized. They put him through a Restored Life ministry, because when you've been in there and you've seen all of that, you need healing. And he desperately needed healing. And so now he's...
But the people that have been involved in this, they'll use words. I'm sure there's somebody listening right now that'll say, oh, Ethel doesn't like us because we had an abortion. And that is not true.
And not at all. You know, no. You know, we love people. We're not, you know, our organization is not to judge. We're not here to judge people. We're trying to save people from themselves in some ways, because it is something that you live with the rest of your life. I mean, a mother, a father, abortion workers, they will live with that the rest of their life. And so we're here to say, you know, don't do that. You don't want to do that. Even if say, for example, no baby aside, say for her sake, because he tells all you want is a baby. Well, we want that baby to live, yes, but we don't want you to have a life of regret that puts you in, I always say, it's like putting a car in park, like the parking brake, and they spend their life going round and round and round because they can't get it together until they receive some healing from God. And so, and that's what the church is. So we're not here to judge anybody.
Well, what I like about that is you've said that you'll live with this decision to have an abortion for the rest of your life. Well, truth is, most sin you're going to live with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to live with it in a negative way.
No.
God wants to use your failings to help other people.
Absolutely. Well, and you know what? Yes, we do live with a sin, but most of them you forget.
Yeah.
These, you know, when a person, just look at the statistic, Jim, when parents lose a child unintentionally for whatever reason, that I believe the statistics is that if they're a married couple, 75% of those marriages don't survive because it is so devastating. That loss is so devastating. And people who have an abortion, they bury it upon layers upon layers. They end up, you know, alcohol, you know, 50% plus, over like 56% of them begin or increase drug and alcohol abuse. And you wonder why we have such a mess right here. I mean, we have millions of people that have had abortions, millions of babies that have died. So you have people on drugs and alcohol trying to medicate themselves because they can't get over it, not by themselves. They need help. They need the hope of the gospel and the love of Jesus. And that's what we're there for. You know, so the help of the church and the hope of the gospel is what we deliver to them.
I might read 2 Corinthians 7-10. It says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret,
yes,
leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death."
Yes.
And so the enemy wants you to be worrying about all your sins for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And he wants to kill you.
Of course.
And the thing that we're trying to say is you can be free of all that and be used in a miraculous way despite what you've done.
Exactly. I mean, we want you not to, but if you have, you know what? God still loves you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he still sent Jesus to die for you, and he wants to restore you. It, you know, abortion is not the unpardonable sin. Mm-hmm. It is a sin just like any other, and we confess that sin, and God forgives us our sin. And then, you know, like Jesus said, go and sin no more. Don't, you know, it's like, let's not do this again. Let's not get in this place. Go and sin no more. But I love you. I don't hate you. You know, we do not, you know, we go, Jim, once a month now to the abortion clinic, and we actually stand by that abortion clinic and we pray for the abortion workers. We pray for the doctor. We pray for all the abortion workers.
And you're not praying for them to fall off a cliff.
No, no, no. We actually praying that God will touch their hearts, that they will come to Christ. Because that's really what we do, is we love to bring people to Jesus.
So you want blessing and prosperity and peace for them.
Yes, we do. We do, because right now they are tormented people. And something came to mind, you know, Representative Stephanie Lord. I don't know if you know her story. You need to get her in her one time.
Well, I've actually heard her speak on the floor of the legislature.
Yeah. She was raised by an abortionist. Her mom was an abortion doctor, and she said it was the most chaotic place that there ever. They were always either drunk or high on something, because she goes, it's tough to be dealing with when you are destroying lives. You have to cope with it somehow. And so... so you have to get her on it. Tell that story. Yeah, she was raised by an abortion doctor, because her mom came in for an abortion and it was too late. She was too far along. And at that time, now today there's abortions to birth, but at that time it was too late. So the abortion doctor adopted her.
Right.
So, but in that, Stephanie got to see it firsthand in her home and in the whole culture. It's a mess. You know, it's not like that celebrate your abortion thing. It isn't like that. These people are just as tormented as those that go in for the abortion.
But the people that are guiding, I mean, you have something to say to women that are considering terminating a pregnancy.
Yes. Yeah.
And your motivations are not based on cash.
No.
But the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for example, we've all heard about... Roe v. Wade, which basically was a federal intervention so that women could have abortions all over the country. But now that has been taken away or reversed. And so now it falls upon the states to make the decision, which is kind of what the states were always asking for, But certain states like Texas. So before we get to that, you were involved heavily in politics for a long time. You ran for governor.
Yeah.
You believe, and as I do, that there's certain policies and things that could really go a long ways. You objected to a lot of federal funding going to abortionists like Planned Parenthood.
Because, Jim, you and I have worked long and hard, and those are yours and my tax dollars.
Yes.
Paying for somebody else's choice.
But is that now stopping? I mean, I hear that Planned Parenthood things are closing, but I never know, frankly, if that's just propaganda coming from the right. I don't know.
No, there's no, they're closing all over the net. I just heard there's a couple in California, which is surprises me, but when the cash stops coming in, you got to remember they were funded like $800 million annually. They were being given that from the federal government. And so,
plus they're charging people
to
have an abortion.
But what they would do is, I have too many stories, but if they couldn't afford it, they would put them on what was called emergency Medicaid. Okay. So that they could perform that abortion. Well, that's why they wanted all those funds. But when those funds dry up, you know, they have no choice but to close their doors. And so here in New Mexico, unfortunately, you know, because once again, just like Roe versus Wade, it's been given back to the states. And so now we have several Planned Parenthoods here. We have one huge one on, you know, Eubank. And so the thing is, it would be great if that would dry up. But, you know, our governor just, for whatever reason, just loves to pump money into this abortion clinic.
How do you pray for the governor?
You just pray for her salvation. Hmm. You know, we pray for her all the time that God would, she needs not be there, all right, because of her. It isn't even just abortion. There's too many things to cover. But it's not. There's no righteousness there. There's no awe of God, no respect for God, obviously.
And do you believe that she's in a position because God put her in that position?
Well, I think she's in a position because God allowed her to be there.
Okay.
He allowed us to choose. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we choose wrong. And so that's why she's there. And they're uneducated. They don't, now I'm not saying that they're dumb or whatever, but they don't educate themselves on the issues. And so they don't know what she was about. When Steve Pierce was running for governor, I took a leave of absence from CareNet to go help him because I knew that she was what it would mean for the pregnancy centers. So yeah, I believe she will still try to throw some money in their direction to keep them afloat. And I just pray they come against that the legislature say, no way, you know, we're done. So
how has killing a child become what some would call women's health care?
Jim, I don't even have an answer. How could, you know, doctors, their oath says do no harm. How is killing someone not harmful?
Are the people with that kind of attitude not acknowledging that a baby is a person?
No, they're not. You know, but that's all been propaganda, okay? I mean, you have to understand that Planned Parenthood, you know, Margaret Sanger and all them, their whole what they did, their whole agenda was world population control, all right? So they had to get the funding. So they had to convince women that it was a good thing to kill your child. Mm-hmm. And so then they began to move it into the healthcare arena saying, well, it's not right. They don't care for you. They don't want you to have good healthcare. Well, you know, killing somebody is not healthcare. So for them to say that it is healthcare is just a lie. It's just not. And they continue to use that. And they're really good. They're really good wordsmiths. Mm-hmm. They talk about, oh, woman's right, her right to choose. All these things are what they say to women to make it appealing. You know, they appeal to our selfish nature, unfortunately. And the longer we go, the more selfish we become, right? So it's to say, you know, well, we'll just take care of that and help us run away from our responsibility.
Straight from the website of Love Life. Love Life is uniting and mobilizing the church mm-hmm. to create a culture of love and life that will result in an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. Love Life is a gospel-centered 501c3 ministry. We have the EIN number, all of that. It can be checked out. It's a nationwide ministry.
Yes.
Ethel Maharg is the director of the Albuquerque office, and we'll have a lot more to talk about what you're doing with the churches and kind of calling them out to get involved. We'll be back with Ethel Mahard right after these messages. Tough subject on ABQ Connect today. Jim Williams with you, Ethel Mahard with the Love Life Organization. She's the director of the Albuquerque organization. And we're talking about abortion.
Yes.
Not a fun topic. It actually brings a smile to my face when I hear you in the first segment talking about, you know, you're restoring life. Mm-hmm. You're encouraging people that have had abortions, supporting the men
yes.
who have been
absolutely.
The dads to those children.
It affects men, Jim. Men, you need to know this. It affects men just as much as it affects her. Mm. After all, it was his child that died. So, yes, it does affect them, and they need healing as well. So our ministry helps men.
Well, and, you know, you hope that people don't do the wrong things in all areas of life.
Right.
But then if you're really a believer in Jesus, you know that that's why Jesus died on the cross. This is how people can be restored. This is how failings in our life can be used to bless other people.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just part of growing. But there's also some urgency because life is short. And I have maybe too strong a question, but again, I want people to temper. If you got little ears listening to this broadcast, you might want to have them go out of the room for a minute. Here's my question. Does a baby feel pain when they're being aborted?
Absolutely, they do. Yeah. A baby becomes like where you can see, we have these little fetal models, they're like 10 to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That baby's completely formed. That's 3 months. At about 20 weeks, they all their pain receptors are in. So it would be like coming here and cutting off your arm. It would be in pain. Of course, you would be in pain. And these babies, you have to understand and make people. May not want to hear this, but what they are done is they either, depending on those different stages, they're either like vacuumed out, or if they're too big, they dismember them and they do piece by piece. And then, you know, or as they're older, they inject a lethal substance right in their heart or in their brain. And then the mom delivers a dead baby. Mm. So, yeah. So, and that lethal injection is outlawed for animals. Get that. Because it is so traumatic to the animals because they writhe in pain for like, you know, anywhere 48 to 72 hours. Yes, they suffer. They suffer pain up until the time that they die with that lethal injection. So, yes, they feel pain. And I've just told you about Abby Johnson's organization. Says she's working with people that have left the industry. And many of them were crying. They said the things that they saw when the abortion was happening, that the baby's mouth would be wide open. It looked like they were crying. They were screaming in pain. So, yes, they feel pain. And, you know, yes, it is a hard subject, but you know what? We need to look at that. We need to hear that, you know, when babies die, it isn't just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, abortion. Like, you need to go and see it. In fact, that's why we tell people, come with us to the clinic. You don't see anything like that, but I'm going to tell you, it changes you when you get there and you see the reality of what's taking place. When you see a parking lot full of cars, most of them out of state, but yeah.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say that are pro-choice,
mm-hmm.
that abortions in general are not as frequent as the pro-life people would want it to be. And you're saying that every day there's a car lot full of people.
Every day. We have 6 abortion clinics here in Albuquerque alone. I'll give you the stats. There's 20,000 abortions that take place annually. I mean, weekly in our nation. Here in Albuquerque, we lose about 450 babies every single week. At the abortion clinic where we go and pray at, Monday through Saturday, anywhere from 25 to 45 babies die. Monday through Saturday.
Mm.
I asked one pastor, I said, Pastor, he had a school. I said, how many children are in your average classroom? And he said, about 25. I said, you just lost a classroom of children.
Mm.
So yeah, they happen all the time. Every 90 seconds, a baby dies.
So you've shifted your focus a little bit from politics and policy to working with the churches. And one of the things that your website says is that you are, Love Life is calling pastors to lead with courage. So you're calling out the churches, Ethel.
Yes, we are. And Jim, really, I haven't shifted my focus. So people know that when I ran for governor, I didn't run because I wanted to be governor. Big deal. I wanted to end abortion. I wanted our state to prosper. I had the ability to do that. I had, you know, I was great at economic development. I had already done that. But my focus was the church. And when I ran, I said, the reason that we're in this mess is because we have turned our backs on God. We say it's okay to murder babies, and then we have euthanasia on the other end. And so then we expect God's blessing. How can that be? So nothing's changed from my message, except that now I work in a pro-life organization.
I should ask you to clarify something, because I don't want that to just fly by people listening on the radio that are driving to lunch or home from lunch. So you have abortion.
Yes.
Aborting babies. And you have moms directly involved in that process and dads. You've already explained how traumatic it is for dads. But then you talk about euthanasia on the other end. I'm on the other end, Ethel.
Yeah, me too.
And so do you think that our country could actually get to a point where society would deem us not useful and
they already put us down? They already have. In fact, many places, if you have like, you're not even have to be old. If you have like a incurable disease like diabetes or some of these things that aren't, you know, that they deem that they cannot cure, you could be eligible. In fact, they have told young people that, you know, we can take care of that. And it's like, and they don't say it, but, you know, it's like you can take your own life. You know, abortion, I said, I'm going to write a book. It's going to says abortion has tentacles, because it does. And what it does is it spread. When we fail to protect the least of these, and that was Francis Schaeffer said that. When we fail to protect the least of these, then we have begun down a slippery slope. Well, we are down at the bottom of that hill, because now it's, if you don't value life, then you know what? I can go and steal your car, break into your house. I can kill you. I can, or the medical community can say, oh, well, here, take something for that, you know, and, you know, you can end that. All the way, like euthanasia, and it will not be, so we have the whole spectrum. What abortion is the failing of us to value life. And I personally, I say this, that it's a slap in the face to God, because we are created in His image. And every child that dies from abortion, it's like Satan just laughing, saying, ha, I killed another one that looked just like you. And so that's why, to me, you know, it's a spiritual matter. Abortion isn't it's in our culture, but it's a heart thing. It's a spiritual matter.
Have you seen people that would never call themselves a Christian or a person of faith that have had an abortion and all of a sudden they then become aware of something spiritually, maybe even negative, coming from the enemy?
Yeah.
And can people be free from that?
Of course. Of course. I mean, God loves us, regardless of how messed up we are. And He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And like I said, abortion is a sin. And so when somebody realizes that they need help, what they need is Christ. They need Christ more than they need anything. So we preach the gospel on the street. Let me tell you, there have been over 1,100 people giving their lives to Christ because we're out there on the sidewalk.
Now, I've read where there are people picketing. Yep. I love to read that word. And they are condemning and yelling at people that are going into an abortion clinic. Is that true?
We don't do that. Well, I'm sure it is true, but that's not what we do. Our ministry is one of prayer. So we walk, we gather apart, we worship God, we praise, and then we pray all the way over there, pray while we're there, and then pray coming back. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. In fact, last time we were there, we had some protesters protesting us. It was kind of fun. But we do not picket. We're not there to picket. We're there to pray. We're there to ask God to do what we cannot do. Because, Jim, I can't save anybody. Mm. Only Jesus. And so that's what we're there for.
You have a perspective that not just older people, let's say 40 up, you're classified as older. I'm 67, so I get to classify that. But
you get the discount.
You actually think that youth need to become very aware about all of this. And so you have an event coming up September 13th.
Yes, sir. We have a walk the second Saturday of every month, just so you know. And we meet at Ernie Taylor Park. If you want more information, we'll get that to you. But September, we always have had a Youth for Life walk. And we ask all the kids, pastors, please bring your youth groups and come on out there. And bring your parents while you're at it, of course. But yes, I heard a young girl. I mean, they really are, Jim. Once they're the ones that have seen all the technology. They know what abortion is. And they're like, no way. So they're standing in the gap. And they say, we're the pro-life generation. And they say, do you know that a third of our generation has been wiped out by abortion? They have been murdered. A third has been murdered. They're like, we're losing half of the, I mean, a third of the people that should have been here with me are not here. So we're encouraging their kids. I'm telling you, they get really excited about being out there, you know, and they need to know. They need to learn. So we have such an atmosphere. You talk about the picketing. We have people bringing their babies, their toddlers, their youth. So, but on this day, please come on out, youth groups, and we're going to worship. We're going to do the same thing that we do, but it's going to be the young people leading that walk that day. So if you're a youth pastor and you hear me, please call me.
Where's more information available?
They can email me at ethel@lovelife.org. Or they can call 505-249-4169.
And lovelife.org is the website.
Lovelife.org is the website, yes. But if they want to reach us and find out, they go to ethel@lovelife.org.
Okay. Yeah. And email you and you'll get back to them with details about what happened. What's the name of the park where you do the walk?
It is Ernie Taylor Park, and it's on 10001 Gutierrez Road, Northeast.
Okay.
It's up by Eubank and Montgomery kind of area, kind of tucked back in there. Beautiful little place.
Oh, nice. And while you're walking, you're praying.
Yes.
So you're not walking and texting.
No.
You're not walking and reading your emails.
No.
You're praying.
Yeah. I always tell everybody, okay, you can talk about lunch later. We're only there an hour and a half, Jim. I tell people you can spare an hour and a half of your day, of your year, of your life, because it's only, and we start at 9 and at 10:30.
Yeah.
Now, the Youth for Life, when we go to 11, we usually go just a little bit later, but only an hour and a half of your life to make a difference.
And that's happening September 13th, 9 to 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. at Ernie Taylor Park, and we'll bring that up again.
Yes.
We're going to take another break, okay. Say thank you to our sponsors, Ethel Maharg with us. She's the director of Love Life in Albuquerque. We'll be back with more right after these messages. Thank you, Tayshawn, for bringing us on and off the air, doing a good job of engineering for us today on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Of course, Steve Ryman will be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. I love to talk to our audience, Ethel. Ethel Maharg, Love Life Organization in Albuquerque. She's the director. Ethel's been contributing to programming here for a really long time.
Wow.
As I already mentioned, you've been involved with politics, and you've mentioned CareNet a couple of times. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is hard. What's some good news?
Okay. Yay! We get to talk about the good news. Well, you know, nationwide... This is so exciting. Nationwide, we've had over 6,600 babies saved since the inception of Love Life 10 years ago. There have been over 1,100 people given their lives to Christ. This year has been probably a record year for the abortion workers. We've had 94 abortion workers quit, not this year, but throughout. And that's huge. I would just stand in awe and think, oh, God, you're so funny. I thought you were going to do it one way. But having abortion workers quit. Well, you know, when they quit, you can't do abortions, right? So the fact that they've quit, we've had over 400 houses of refuge, and we didn't get to talk about that. And a church can become a house of refuge, which is a place where a woman and husband, you know, they can run to the church, because that's what we want, because they need to be discipled. You know, we really are the answer, like when I was with Karen, that we used to pray for, that we needed a place for to take these people when they're at that vulnerable place. Where do we put them?
Okay, but I got to stop yeah. here, because I'm imagining a 16-year-old girl.
Okay.
Traditional Christian family. Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant. There are a lot of people in the church having abortions.
Absolutely.
And it's because of, in many cases, the reaction of the church. What should the church be doing instead of what they've been doing?
They should be talking about it. You know, when I work with Mark Gonzalez, he said that the top things that people wanted to hear about, mm-hmm. abortion was in that top. People want to hear, but the pastors, preachers, whatever you want, they won't talk about it because they say, well, we don't want to offend people. Well, because you know how I am. My first reaction is like, well, you just did, because, you know, it's like you can offend people on either side. But Jesus didn't come to, you know, to not offend. He offended. But the gospel offends. But it doesn't offend just to offend. It offends so that they can repent and come to him, right? That's the whole point of it. And so abortion needs to be preached from the pulpit repeatedly. You know, and I just heard a statistic that it takes 7 times for one person to hear the gospel to come to Christ. So if it takes 7 times, you can't just have a annual, what is that? I forgot about the Roe versus Wade, the one in January 22nd. I lost my words for that one. In January, the Sanctity of Life Sunday.
Okay.
That's not enough.
Well, think about this. You want the reaction of the church. You want that 16-year-old
yes.
to know before anything ever happens.
That's right.
Every child mm-hmm. today, every young person that has the case, I call young people that can have babies young. Mm-hmm. They could be 40 or older probably.
Yeah.
So this is not just young girls getting right. pregnant. This is older women too. You want them all to feel safe.
They should.
Yes. In the church.
Yes, they need to. Because what's happening, because they're not being told about it, the statistics is, Jim, 54% of the abortions are coming. They're happening from the church. Mm. That's a staggering statistic. And which means that we're worse than the world. We're 54%. You know, if it is not preached from the gospel, they're going to run to the abortion clinic. Where they should be running is to the church. And we have something called the House of Refuge, and we can talk about that another time because we won't have to. And so, pastors, I would love to come and talk to you about that. It's a simple thing. Yeah, you don't have to do it. You know, we have a representative, and they would help to get them.
So Love Life is actually going to help a church
yes.
set up how to take care of people.
Yes. Yes. So,
and by the way, it's not a bad thing if your church doesn't know what to do
no.
in this circumstance, but you have resources so they can learn.
Exactly. I had one pastor tell me, he says, I always wanted to do something, but I didn't know what to do until you came along. And so that's what we're here for, is to come alongside the church to engage the flock.
And how do church leaders get in touch with you again?
They can email me at Ethel, E-T-H-E-L, at lovelife.org. Or they can call 505-249-4169.
And you know, guys, as you're listening, we just have to keep giving you that yeah. number, because you might be, you know, just getting in your car or yeah. just got out of your car or whatever, and now you have a chance. Don't write this down while you're driving, okay? Please. We got to be careful.
Pull over.
That's right, with each other. This is probably too obvious a question, but I got to ask it anyway. Is abortion about money?
Oh, yeah. It is. Why do you think that the abortion clinics are closing when there's federal funding dries up?
Is saving babies about money?
No.
You're not getting rich?
Oh, gosh. I wish. No. 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 You know, it's mostly just like most of our pro-life organizations, you know, we're all funded by good folks like the people that are listening. You know, we don't collect federal funds. We get nothing like that. So yeah, it's not about money at all. And most everybody that serves on a volunteer basis. I mean, you should see those people out there on the sidewalk. They don't get a dime. They do it because their heart tells them they've been called. They're doing it because God tells them, or, you know, we all go out there and we're like, we're doing this because we love God and we love people.
So second Saturday of every month.
Yes.
You walk together.
Yes.
Ernie, do you do this in the winter too?
Yep.
All right. What would somebody listening right now, if they're thinking, this is an organization I could support, mm-hmm. but I kind of want to know more about them. So let's say they come out to a prayer walk. What would be their experience?
Well, one pastor told me that he was like wondering what people were going to think about it. And he said that this person told him, he goes, it's not what I expected. He goes, it's kind of like it was like a little revival in the park. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we go and we praise God, we pray, we share about different things, you know, about the realities of abortion. And then we let them know where they're going to go. And we walk and we pray. And it's very somber over there. Yet we still worship God even there. We even sing, believe it or not. We sing songs. Because it's not about them or us. It's about God. Mm. You know, God is still worthy of being praised, even where we're like basically at a graveyard. He still deserves our praise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I want you to shout out to your church a little bit, because you've learned how to praise God everywhere you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that something you learned in church?
You know, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I've been going.
What did Pastor Richard have to do with that?
Pastor Richard has been phenomenal, and he has supported me all the way through. Mm. Pastor Richard Mansfield, New Beginnings Church, he's been phenomenal. And he not only has he supported like everything we do, he's gone on the walks. He's, you know, supported every event, every venue. I mean, we just had a gala. It was there at that church, and they even support us financially. So we have some churches that support us financially that said, we believe in you because, Jim, we are good ground to sow into because of what it is that we're doing. So, yes, he's been phenomenal. And, I love Pastor Richard. He's a good friend.
So really. if a local pastor, local women's group, men's group leadership calls you at 505-249-4169, mm-hmm. how can you help them?
Well, I guess it depends on what it is they want to do. You know, I mean, we take their strengths or what it is, because they'd want to either be on we need prayer teams for sure. We need sidewalk trained mentors that would be out there. And that is, they have
to go through training. So do you train them how to throw things and be mean to people?
Oh, we do, Jim.
You know, we're being facetious, you guys.
No throwing allowed. No, we are very, very kind to him. In fact, I have some brochures here. It says Hope is Here, and another one, Hope and Healing. Because what we do is we just say, hey, mom, you know, we have some information for you. We call her by what she is, and that she's a mom. Mm-hmm. So, no, there's no yelling at anybody. We pray with people there. And so, but they do need to be trained, and then they're shadowed. And we have partnered with Abortion Free New Mexico. See, this is part of uniting and mobilizing the church. It isn't just a church building. But we partner with all the organizations because it isn't about Love Life. It's about all of us together, because not one organization alone can do this. We all have to get together. We have to put down our swords, quit fighting each other.
In our last segment, which we'll take a break and say mm-hmm. hi to our sponsors and thank you. But when we come back, I want you, and you can mention them by name or not.
Okay.
But there's powerful people involved in ministry that have had abortions. Mm-hmm. There are powerful people volunteering in your organization. Maybe you'd share some of those examples and tell us why they've told you they're serving.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Ethel Mahar. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Starting off Monday on ABQ Connect, we appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Jim Williams with you. Ethel Maharg, the director of Love Life in Albuquerque, is with us, and we're talking about, the topic of abortion, which sometimes we don't want to talk about, and it's very unpleasant, but there are neat things happening. Who's helping you?
Oh my gosh, we have some great pastors. I should have written them all down. But we have pastors. Last month, we had three churches that came alongside us. And let me think. We've had Calvary Rio Rancho has come. And we also have had Church Alive, Pastor Jason Kimmerly. We had, Jesus First. We have like lots of denominations.
You already mentioned Richard Mansfield.
Richard Mansfield. Yeah. That's right. 505 Church. Pastor Clarence Washington, when he had Abundant Life.
Yep.
Did.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Pastor Clarence has been on our show many times.
Yeah, he
had a good man.
Valencia, over Pastor Barney and them, they come from there. You know, so from all over, you know, the Albuquerque area, they're coming. Pastor, Kevin Warner from Del Norte Baptist. Mm. So we have like different denominations that are coming. It's a beautiful thing that they come and stand together. We have No Name. It's a ministry. And Pastor Paul and Pastor Jeremy, and they come, they bring music, and it's just the most wonderful thing, them. And let me think. Oh, Pastor Soto from Esperanza Viva.
Hey, I want to, while you mention these neat people,
yeah.
I'm still thinking about that 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Is it legal if a young woman gets pregnant? Maybe she's embarrassed in front of her classmates. Maybe she's part of a church, and she feels like she's going to be humiliated, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can she go have an abortion without the permission of her parents?
She can. The nurse will take her, I'm sure. Or they'll refer. And now in the state of New Mexico, you cannot stand in their way. I mean, they passed laws that, you know, you have to allow them to do those things, right? And so, yes, she and then the parents will never be notified. They can go and get an abortion without the parental consent or notification. They don't even have to know. They will not know.
What do you hope if they are able to find out, or they do find out, what do you hope the parents' reaction is?
I hope the parents will come alongside them and realize that's their grandchild. Mm. You know, maybe it won't matter because they're concerned that that pregnancy, that baby is going to affect that child for the rest of her life. And I get to tell you, it will. But you know what? We've had so many women say that baby is what kept me going, what made me get up to go to work. It made me get my degree. It made me get... So like the other side, they'll tell you, oh, you'll never get that degree. You'll never be able to finish school. You won't be able to have a career.
So you're being told that by abortionists.
Oh, yeah.
But by people that don't believe what Love Life believes.
Right.
People that have a financial motivation. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about that.
Right.
When that financial motivation is gone, most of them will be gone.
Right.
You're not going to be gone.
No, we'll still be here because...
Because you still love them because your motivation isn't money.
Right. And people are still going to get pregnant out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And they need us. They need us even more, you know, so... You know,
do you know any young people like that or that have been told, oh, your life is over if you have this baby? It's going to be too hard and traumatic. You'll lose all your dreams. Have you seen people be successful and have great outcomes?
Yeah, I know several of them personally. And I know the kids. The kids are so cute. They didn't die because they had that baby. In fact, their lives have flourished. Those women have gone on. They're serving in ministry. You know, so... No, it's a big fat lie, Jim, that your life will end and that, oh, we can make this go away. I hate to tell you, it will never go away. If they're telling you, you know what, we can make this go away and you can go back to how you were. No, you won't. You will never. The fact that you're pregnant means that your life will never be the same. Whether you choose to parent, abort, or release for adoption, your life will never be the same. So... Get over the fact that everything's going to go back to the way it used to because it's not. Your life will be affected. And so you just have to choose, as I say, choose your heart, you know, because, you know, but abortion is never the answer. And former abortionist Dr. Levitino, he was just here for Karenette's banquet. And he says, I've seen him on videos and he says, you should never, ever, ever have an abortion. And that's from a former abortion doctor who performed thousands of abortions. He should know.
Okay, we're going to tell your enemy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, it says to pray for.
Right.
And meet the needs of your enemy, not hate them.
Yeah.
right? So I guess I'm, tell me about your strategy. What's your strategy moving forward? What do you guys really want to do, and how can our listeners participate?
Well, we want the churches to come. We come alongside the church, actually. Okay. We're churches, pastors, please call me. And so we can engage your church, and we're asking the churches to come and take a walk with us, an hour and a half of your life. That's all. And so then we would love for your church to become a house of refuge so that the women and men can run to you and that they can be discipled in Christ, because that's what they need. They don't need an abortion. They don't need, and they need to understand what it is to be pure and what it is to be righteous, what, all those things. So we are there to help that part, but it's not going to fall on your shoulders. A rep will do that for you. Okay. From House of Refuge. We, you know what? We want abortion to end in the worst way, you know, because it's so dishonoring to God. We're again, we're destroying the image of God every time a baby dies from abortion. So we want it to end. You know, abortion, Jim, is the number one cause of death in our nation. Number one. Surpasses heart attack, stroke, diabetes, and any of them. Even gun violence. It needs to stop. It needs to stop.
Well, it sounds like the death of the child is not the only death.
No.
Living with massive regret. Mm-hmm. And maybe even mental illness, mm-hmm. because of your sorrow and your guilt for however many years, mm-hmm. you can be free from that right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, just call. In fact, our ministry, Restored Life, is completely confidential. I know, I've been told, oh, we've had several calls from Albuquerque. And I'm like, great. I don't know who you are. I do not know who you are. So, because it's supposed to be like that. It's completely confidential, whether you're a woman or a man, and you call and they put you through restorative, you know, like courses, or like they might even put you somewhere locally if that's what you decide.
But you've seen heart change where people go way past worrying about the confidentiality. They actually want their name out there and they testify what they went through.
Yeah.
Just like this abortion worker that's holding a sign that says, pray for abortion workers.
Right. Yeah.
They want to become part of the solution, and they want God to use their failing to help other people.
Well, even if you look at this little booklet, it's got Stephanie Reinhardt. It's in there. She's the one that leads us, and she's post-abortion. Okay. Mm. In fact, we have, I asked many that come to the park, many women that have had abortions, if they would go ahead and testify, and they do. I've had several on there that testify about their abortion experience, but how God set them free. So, I mean, there's nothing like somebody that's been somewhere. You know, like, for example, Abby Johnson's one. Mm-hmm. She had three abortions while she was, and then she became huge director because she bought the lie until she saw it herself. Mm. And then she became a force to be reckoned with. And now she's got eight kids herself.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that those that have experience are the ones that fight.
I think we need to have some basic biology classes for some of these people after that. Or you end up, now, what am I talking about? I have five kids.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
Hey, the first Saturday in August is the second. The second is the ninth.
The ninth.
Will there be a walk on the
ninth?
There'll
be a walk on the ninth.
So come out. You don't have to sign up or anything else. 9 o'clock a.m.?
9 o'clock a.m. You can go to lovelife.org, and there's a thing, place to connect. So please do that. And in the meantime, please pray. I'm going to ask you to do this. Two things. I'm asking you to give, because we appreciate your gifts, because like I said, it's good ground. But at 9:29 every single morning, set your alarm. Because abortion clinics say they start abortions at 9:30. We're asking you for 1 minute. Set your clock. 9:29 a.m. Please pray with us.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.